want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, If God is Speaking. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Today, I want to continue in a teaching about listening to God's voice, and that we need to be able to hear God's voice, and we need to be able to hear it clearly. I want to tell you right now, it's more important to hear His voice than anything else that you could possibly do, because we need His direction. We need Him to tell us what our next step is. Again, we've talked about how there will come a time when you and I will probably have to meet only listening to His voice, not knowing where we will meet or where His church will have to meet. This is just sort of a forerunner. I think this is just kind of a taste. What we're going through now is just kind of a taste of something that's going to be multiplied many, many times over later. And those that are a part of the body of Christ need to be able to hear the Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want to start with John chapter 10, verse 2 through 5. And we want to talk about today if it's God speaking. We want to learn how to recognize if it's God speaking. Now, John chapter 10, verse 2 through 5 says, "The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice." So the Lord wants us and needs us to recognize his voice. And that's really what we're talking about today, being able to recognize the voice of the Lord. That is a question that I get pretty often from people, in fact, where they say, "How do you hear God? How do you know when God is speaking to you?" So we're just going to lay some things down today to help you to know that. Now, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8 through 11, it says, God speaking says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." So obviously, we want to hear from him because what he has to say is vitally important, much more important than our own thoughts. And so we need to understand that God is speaking and he's always looking to send words or send a message to his people. Now it goes on in verse 10, it says, "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty," or the King James says void, "but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." I love that because it gives us a picture of how God's word works. He sends his word down. We catch his word with our spirit, like we talked about before. We catch his word with our spirit. We feed that word from our spirit into our soulish realm. We speak it out of our mouth. That word returns back to heaven, back to the throne of God. And when it does, it makes a power connection, just like electricity. And then we can see that word actually accomplished. I love that picture because it works that way for the things we need. That's why it's so important you get a word from God about the things you need. You get a word from God when it comes to healing for your bodies, for instance. If you got a word from God, that's where faith arises. And then you speak that forth, not just because it's something you want, but because it's what God wants and what God's word says. And as you speak forth that word, it returns from where it came. And that power connection is made. And we see that word manifest. We need to apply that to every area of our life. It's all about hearing from God, getting his word, and then speaking that, praying that back to him. Now, I believe everybody would understand this, but not all thoughts are God's thoughts. Just because we have a thought certainly doesn't mean it's God's thought. Even as a Christian, just because you have a thought doesn't mean it's God's thought. It could be our thoughts. It could be from our own fleshly desires. It may even sound right and sound spiritual to some degree. We may even tag God's name to it or something. But if it didn't originate with God, then it's really a fleshly thought. And sometimes, you know, we like to talk to ourselves. And a lot of times, unfortunately, when we talk to ourselves, we're not telling ourselves what God's word says. We're just saying whatever our old messed up brain thinks. And we begin to speak that stuff out and say that kind of stuff. And it doesn't come into agreement with the word of God. So there's no faith involved. So we don't see a manifestation of God's word there. So, or that word that, or that thought could actually come from Satan himself. It could be a thought that is injected into your mind that the enemy is speaking to you to try to bring you down in some way, or to try to steal the worship of God from you. So the enemy loves to speak as well. So the Bible says that there are false prophets, and the spirit of the Antichrist can also plant thoughts into our minds. So how do you know when it's really God? It's very important, again, especially right now, to know if it's God speaking. This may not be a big issue if you're trying to do something like, I don't know, maybe decide what restaurant to go to, although it could be, because God could have a mission for you at a specific place that he would want you to go at a certain time when we get back to going to restaurants. But if you're talking about a major thing in life, especially, you want to hear from God. And if you're talking about, you know, who you're going to marry, or even where you're going to go to church, or whether you're going to make some big purchase or something like that, you really, really need to be hearing from God. If you're talking about those kind of things, those are major issues. And we need to be able to discern when God is speaking. Now, I've shared an illustration before a few times. I really love this illustration because I believe that it truly does illustrate what we're trying to say today. But there's a story about the man who years ago, when they were using Morse code, he wanted to become a Morse code operator, and he answered an ad in a newspaper. He went to the address that was listed. When he arrived, he gets into this large, noisy office, and you could hear the telegraph clicking away as he's sitting there. And there's, you know, people in the room kind of talking, some reading. And there's a sign on the receptionist counter that instructs the job applicants to fill out the form and wait until they were summoned to enter into the interview room. Well, the young man completed his form. He sat down with at least seven other waiting applicants, and they were all waiting to be called into the interview. And after a few minutes, this young man, though he got there after them, he stands up and he walks across the office and he goes into the interview room. And naturally, everybody else is wondering, you know, what's going on here? We were here first. You know, why would this guy get up and go in there before us? He wasn't called. And so they were all muttering to themselves. And then after a few minutes, the young man emerges from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer. And that interviewer announced to all the other applicants, said, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man." And the other applicants began complaining. They said, wait a minute. We were here first. Why did he get to go in first? I don't understand. We were waiting to be called, and you never called any of us, but yet he got up and went in there and you give him the job. And the employer responded and said, "All the time that you've been sitting here, that telegraph has been clacking out this message in Morse code." And this is what the message in Morse code said. Remember, they were trying to get a job as a Morse code operator. But it said, "If you understand this message, then come right in. The job is yours. None of you heard it. None of you understood it. This young man did. So the job is his." So listen, not everybody in the world can hear the voice of God. Not everybody understands his language. Not everybody understands how he speaks. But I want you to understand, I believe this is from the Lord, that in this time, this day, this hour, we need to know when God is speaking. We need to be able to comprehend it in our spirit. Now, let's look at some things about if it's God speaking. Number one, if it's God speaking, understand it will always honor Christ. Always. Never, ever, ever will God's word dishonor Christ in any way? John chapter 15, verse 26, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. John chapter 16, verse 14 says, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Now, this is Jesus speaking here, right? And then in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, the Apostle John says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God, but every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. And remember, that spirit, the Antichrist spirit, it's been here now for years, thousands of years. So understand that that same spirit is trying to work today, and I believe can easily work through people, even though people that call themselves reverend or pastor or whatever, if these are not people who are truly connected to the vine. And it's very important for us to be able to hear what God is saying, even if he's speaking it through another person. And that word will always, always honor Christ. So the implication here is in regards to prophetic counsel more than practical. I believe that God's natural wisdom can be spoken to us by those who don't even know him. A natural wisdom. I know of a man who came to know Christ because, in fact, a man in our church, because someone else told him, you know, there is a God. They just use those words. You know, there is a God. Now, the man who told him that wasn't living for God in any way, shape, or form. In fact, if I were to tell you who that person was, you'd be stunned. But as a result of that man, that evil man speaking those words to this other guy who didn't know the Lord, God used those words out of the mouth of an evil man to bring conviction to that heart because he was speaking truth. And so God used that. That man couldn't, he said he couldn't wait to get to church that next morning. And he came running up to that altar and just crying and surrendering his heart to Christ. And it was a beautiful thing. So natural wisdom can be spoken to us and God can use it. Parents, authors, so on and so forth. Advice on how to do something that they have expertise in. That's good. Hey, if I need plumbing work done, I want to talk to a plumber who knows something about plumbing. If I need carpenter work done, I want to talk to someone who knows what they're doing. If I need dentistry done, I want to go to a dentist who knows what they're doing, right? Or if I have questions, I want to ask someone who knows. They're an expert. And so there's nothing wrong with getting advice like that on a natural level. But spiritual insight, which claims a spiritual source, must be spiritually tested. If it's from the Holy Spirit, Christ will be acknowledged as Lord. If not, it doesn't come from heaven. And you don't want it. I don't care how good it sounds. Someone may even claim to be a Christian, but if they're not portraying Christ in their words or action, then you don't want it. I'm not just talking about, by the way, those who don't, you know, drink, smoke, and cuss, and chew, and all of that kind of stuff, or like the old saying, and run with girls that do. I'm talking about, does the love and the light of Christ shine brightly from their lives to others? Now, we're talking about people who are speaking a message saying that this is a message from God. I'm not talking about does the love and the light of Christ shine in their life? You got to be careful who you allow to speak into your life. Needless to say, there are a lot of people offering spiritual guidance today. And even though many may simply be charlatans, I don't doubt that there are spiritual powers at work, but they're powers from the wrong spirits. So understand, God's voice will always honor Christ. Do their words line up with and honor the character of Christ? Now, number two, if it's God speaking, it'll always be consistent with his word. We kind of talked about this in the last teaching. It'll always be consistent with his word. Luke chapter 21, verse 33, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. God will never tell you to violate anything in his word. Never. He will never tell you to violate his word. If it doesn't agree with God's word, then understand it did not come from God. I remember years ago, there was a couple that we knew, and both of them Christians, supposedly. But I'll never forget the wife telling us that God told her to leave her husband. And it wasn't because of adultery or whatever. It was because God, she said, God told her to leave her husband because she was not happy and God wanted her to be happy. I want to tell you that is a lie straight from the pit of hell. That did not come from God. That was deception from the enemy. So if it doesn't agree with God's word, it didn't come from God. If it's condemnation that leads to hopelessness also, instead of conviction that leads to hope and faith. There's a difference between conviction and condemnation. If it's condemnation that leaves you hopeless, but brings no conviction that leads to faith. If it's building up your flesh instead of building up your spirit. If it leads you into remorse or rebellion instead of into repentance, then it's not from God and you don't want it. Again, this is so important for God's people to know. It's not from God. So don't bite from that fruit. Understand that that fruit comes from the wrong tree. God does not change. Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. His counsel will not contradict itself ever. Now, rather, God's Spirit will speak to us in a way that will apply the counsel of his word to our personal and specific situations. And it is consistent. Listen, we want to be consistent with his word. And what he speaks to us will always be consistent with his word. And it does not simply mean applying a quotation from scripture that's taken out of context either. Remember, when Christ was being tempted in the wilderness, the devil quotes the scripture to him. And he says, you know, hey, doesn't the scripture say that the angels will catch you if you jump off of this, the pinnacle of this temple? Listen, Jesus knew the counsel of his father and he knew the appropriate use of the word and he knew the whole counsel of the word. He didn't just pull something out of context and twist it, but the devil certainly did. And I've seen a lot of people do the same thing. So we can also discern as we learn God's word. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 through 17, while evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived, but as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of because you know those from whom you learned it and how from infancy, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, one comment I want to make about that is a lot of times people, when they get a corrective word or maybe a rebuke kind of word, they don't see that as good. That they say that you're not building me up here. You know, people need to be just built up. Well, the scripture says that all of those things, teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, thoroughly equips us for every good work. In other words, it builds us up into what we're supposed to be so that we can do the work that God's called us to do. So, by the way, whatever is plainly stated in scriptures, you don't even have to pray about it. I don't pray about tithing. I just do it. I don't pray about going to church or being part of the church. Of course, right now we're having to go to church via video, but still treat this and honor this as the day you come and you worship the Lord together with the body of Christ. I don't pray about doing that. I do it because I know this is what God's word instructs me to do. I don't pray about telling others the good news. I just do it. There's no question that he wants me to share the gospel with people and share testimonies with people, so on and so forth. I don't have to pray about whether or not to let the light shine because it's right there in the word of God. Now, number three, if God is speaking, if it really is God speaking, it will many times conflict with human wisdom and the human will. Now, listen, that doesn't mean that everything God says will conflict with all common wisdom or thought. We're not saying that. But it will often transcend, as we read earlier, or be higher than the common wisdom or thought. God's thoughts, as we said, are higher. So sometimes when God speaks, I want to tell you, it makes no sense to our brain. It's like, how could this possibly work? But if it's God speaking and it's in agreement with his word, and we know it in our spirit that it's him speaking, then it will accomplish what he wanted it to accomplish. So Pastor Mike Milay, I love what Pastor Mike Milay says. He says, God wants to do things in your life and take you to places in your walk with him that will make your brain mad for 6 months because it didn't think of it. I love that. Our brain is always trying to compete with the spirit, by the way. And the spirit has to take its rightful place above the soulless realm and keep that brain in line, keep that soul in line. So more than any other point, this stands out in my experience of hearing God. It's very rarely what I would expect. Usually when God tells us to do something, usually it's not what I would have thought of. There's always something deeper and more intense that God wants to impart than what I was looking for, to be honest with you. There's always something that's really more important for the kingdom than what I could possibly have imagined when I hear from God. But again, it doesn't always make sense. So in following God, sometimes you don't necessarily look for paths. Instead, you look for God. You want to hear his heart. There will be many, many times where God will seem to be leading you where there is no path. You just know that you got to take the next step because God said to take the next step, but you can't see down the road. You can't plan it out. And so we want to go down the path that God leads us to go down. And then we want to leave a trail for others to follow as well. Number four, if it's God speaking, it'll always challenge your faith. You know, one of the things we say on our radio broadcast is we pray that this message will both bless you and challenge you, because God's word will always challenge your faith. We know that Romans 10:17 says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, faith in it is trust in God, and God is always in the process of deepening that trust. This is where I think people usually get confused in their approach in discerning God's voice. Usually people have a tendency to ask God questions about decisions or direction, such as, you know, marriage or a job or things like that. But God will speak more to the issue of character. How much can I love this person, for instance? How much can I give? See, we're asking God about what to do, and then God starts dealing with our character. God is more interested. I've said this many times, but God, even for a pastor or person in ministry, God is more interested in the minister than he is the ministry. God is more interested in our development than he is our direction. Because if you go down a certain direction without the proper development, you're just going to mess things up down the road. So he's more interested in getting us, getting his people ready for their purpose than he is in them just moving forward. He's more interested in building our faith than he is in seeing what can be built by our faith. Although God ultimately does want those things in our lives, like any good father would, and he is a good father, he is always more interested in you. He loves you. He loves you deep, and he's more interested in you. He wants us to be able to trust him in every situation. So again, if God is speaking, it's always going to challenge your faith. Don't be afraid of the challenge. If God is speaking, he will make a way where there seems to be no way. Now, number five, if it's God speaking, it'll usually find confirmation with spiritually mature people in your life. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, it says, "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." Proverbs 12, 1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates correction is stupid." One of my favorite scriptures in all the Bible. When I believe that I've heard from God, especially for a major decision, I want to get confirmation on that decision. And I have found that when God has spoken to us, especially about big moves, things that he wanted us to do, he always provided the confirmation. We had to be patient for that confirmation. And I look for confirmation when God is speaking to us about those things. And I look for that confirmation through those I know have godly wisdom, wisdom from heaven, people who can hear from God and they can discern God's voice. Those are the people I want to hear from. There should be people in your life who serve as what we would call traffic lights. People in your life, starting with your spiritual authorities that God has placed in your life. That's why I tell people it's so important to know what church God has placed you in, because God wants to meet you there. In other words, the word that comes out of the mouth of that authority that God has put in your life, God will meet you with that word. You have to know what God wants for you and where he wants you to be, so that when that word comes, whether it's easy to accept or whether it's hard to accept, whether it's comes in the form of encouragement or if it comes in the form of correction, you can receive it. So I believe that that confirmation is very important. And I do believe that God has those traffic light people for us. I have several in my life. I have a pastor who I look to as well, but I have other men and women of God who I know hear from God, who God will use to bring confirmations to me, even many times when it's not even asked for. And I know it's from the Spirit of God. So before you seek out any person, go to the Holy Spirit first, because the Holy Spirit is the one who, he's the main confirmer of the Word of God. In significant decisions, after seeking the Lord, seek the spiritually wise. Not just someone who you know will always agree with you, but someone who you know, even if they have to hurt your feelings, will tell you what you need to hear. And I know that's no fun. I don't like it either, but I thank God for those people that he's put in my life. Number six, if it's God speaking, it will always produce godly fruit. Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 16. And we're really talking about right now when God is speaking through a person, for instance, what comes out of their mouth, does it bring godly fruit? Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 through 16. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you will recognize them. This is one of the direct commands of Christ. Watch out for those false prophets. Beware of false prophets, because he knew that there would be a temptation and that people would rise up and bring all kinds of heretical things forward and speak all kinds of things, saying it in the name of God, claiming to be speaking for God, and they would be a false prophet. But it says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. So this doesn't refer to whether or not these false prophets can gather people, because listen, you can gather people if you have the right marketing strategy and all that kind of stuff. But this doesn't depend on whether or not they can gather people or whether even outward success or what appears to be outward success comes. Cult leaders can gather people and seemingly have success. It's about what kind of character is produced as the result of that voice and what kind of character is produced, first of all, in that person's life who is speaking that. If a voice is not producing good fruit in those who are hearing and applying it, then something is wrong. I want to always be a person who hears and speaks from the true voice of God. We're attempting to do that for you this morning. We attempt to do that in every message. I never want to just speak of my own thoughts, but I want to speak what is the Lord saying, because I know that that's going to bear good fruit, godly fruit, and that's going to bring people to life. So anything else is a waste of time. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. A word from God should be producing those things in our lives. And so it follows that if it comes from God, it's going to be consistent with all of those fruit. Now, finally, here's my final point. If it's God speaking, it will always bring peace to your spirit. Now, I want you to hear what I said. I said that it will bring peace to your spirit, not your mind. It may not bring peace to your mind at all. In fact, many times it will very much disturb your mind. When God is speaking, there will be a peace in your spirit as it receives that word. But your mind may say, man, that's crazy. It could be very disturbing. So that is, unless our mind is submitted to the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, whom our own spirit is submitted to. So it's very important, again, that we keep the Spirit in charge of the soulless realm, the mind, will, and emotions. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 8, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live according with the Spirit, or in accordance with the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. So again, we see that if the mind is not submitted to the Spirit, if we're in the flesh and our thinking and so on, that peace will not be there. But the mind, it'll only bring death. But it says, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. So when God speaks, if it's God speaking, it will bring peace to your spirit. So 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, it says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but peace." You know, peace and disorder are basically opposites. Confusion is another way of disorder, talking about disorder. And peace and confusion are actually opposites. Peace, the word peace is the Greek word is eirene, and it means prosperity, quietness, rest, set at one again. So that part about set at one again, it's that coming together. It's the opposite of confusion. The word confusion means con, means against. Fusion means united or melted together to make one. Peace puts you at rest. It makes you one again. Confusion is a breaking or a pulling apart. It's the opposite of fusion. It's a pulling apart. And that's what they say to, you know, that's what people say when a person says, you know, they can't get their thoughts together. They're mentally confused. Their thoughts won't come together. Remember what we just read. The mind is governed by the flesh, or the mind that's governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. And for example, marriage is intended by God to be a fusion. So the devil loves to bring confusion into a marriage. Why? So that he can break it apart. Because marriage is a picture of our relationship with the Lord. The devil loves to use confusion. In fact, the Bible says that he's the author of confusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." So if there's confusion and there's no peace, then you need to get a word from God, because that word will bring peace in your spirit. Right now, in this trial that everybody is going through, if you have confusion, if your thoughts are just everywhere, then you need the peace of God. You need to hear a word from God. That word will set you at peace again. It'll set you at one again. And so the Bible says that in James chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Again, remember, peace and confusion are total opposites. John chapter 14, verse 26 through 27 says, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you." And then it's what he said, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid." Notice what he said. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Why? Because the peace of God is for the heart. And so it's the spirit man. So the Holy Spirit provides God's peace for the child of God, even when they find themselves in a time like this and in the midst of the world being in confusion and chaos. That peace has been made available, but you have to take a hold of it by faith. So he gives this inner knowledge that is absolutely certain. It's absolutely sure. No matter what our outer circumstance is, you can get a word from God that'll set you at Isaiah chapter 55, verse 12. "You will go out with joy and be led forth in peace." Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. "The fruit of righteousness will be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and confidence forever." So listen, peace is not just a happy feeling. Some people think that peace is just a feeling of calmness in their emotions, but it's not just a happy feeling because you're getting your way. A lot of times people will say, "I'm praying about this," and I'll say, "Well, do you have peace about it?" And they go, yeah, I have peace about it. But truly, it's not peace from God because they haven't really sought God or got a word from it. It's peace because they think they're getting what they want, and they feel good about that because they're getting what they want. And you have to be very careful. Of course, when you're seeking God, you seek to get that peace in your spirit, but make sure that you're truly hearing from God, and it's not because you're just getting your way, getting what you want or you think you are. So real peace comes when you don't get your way. Real peace comes when God gets his way. There can be no true peace apart from that. And so when we rightly discern God's voice, when we know when God is speaking, we're kind of like the old boat captain who was asked to explain how the wind works. And he said, "I don't know about the wind. I can't control the wind's direction, but I know how to hoist and direct a sail, and I know how to use a rudder to get where I need to go." Listen, as the wind of the Spirit blows, and as we get direction from God on how to hoist and direct the sail and how to use the rudder, that wind, I believe, will bring us right into the fulfillment of our God-given destiny. There will be plenty of good adventure if we'll do things God's way. In fact, I've often said the Christian life is far from boring. The Christian life is an absolute adventure because God has to give you directions. And as you heed those directions, you don't always know where he's sending you. But I want to tell you, you will experience some exciting things in life, and you will see the supernatural manifest in your life as a child of God. So the more you seek God, the more you're going to know God. That's more than just a nice song that we sing. The more you seek him, the more you know him. The more you understand him, the easier it is to hear his voice when he speaks to you. I want to pray for you today and just ask the Lord to help you to be able to hear his voice clearly. But before I do that, I want to take the time this morning. I don't know who's listening. I don't know who will listen to this broadcast. But I want to take the time this morning to address someone who maybe you have no peace in your heart whatsoever. Maybe you've never heard from God. And maybe you've never surrendered your life to Christ. Maybe you've kind of gone through life and maybe things have been good. And maybe you felt like you didn't need God because things were so good for you. And maybe you have questions that have been arising now and you're wondering, what about this thing about God? What about this being saved and being born again? And what does all that really mean? This morning, I just want to tell you that what Jesus did on Palm Sunday when he came through Jerusalem on that donkey, knowing that he would go to that cross, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of you. He was thinking of every person on this earth who has not met him yet. He did what he did so that we could be saved. There is a real heaven and there is a real hell. We will live one place or the other in eternity. And God is not going to force himself on you. But God, I believe, is calling you. If you're watching this broadcast, if you're watching this message, know this is your sign. God is calling you to himself. He wants you to draw close to him. He wants you to know him in a way that you've never known him before. He wants you to know that his son died an excruciating, horrific death. He was tortured, so brutally beaten with that cat of nine tails. He was so brutally beaten. People hit him with their fist and pressed a crown of thorns into his brow. And they beat him and they mocked him and they spit on him. They forced him to carry his cross. And he was so weak in that moment that he couldn't even carry it physically. He couldn't even finish carrying it. They had to get help for him to carry it up on that hill. And they put that cross in its place. And as it jarred him in its place because of where they had nailed the nails into his hands, his wrist actually, and his feet, because they went right through the nerves. And it caused the joints to be separated when that jar happened, when they put that cross in its place. And he hung there with his joints separated and he pulled himself up and he breathed words. He said things like, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what you're doing." I believe that word goes on to eternity. I believe that he prayed that not just for those who were crucifying him, but those whom would come later, who would just take life for granted. Those who sinned put him on the cross. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. He died a horrific death. 7 times he had to pull himself up just so he could get a breath. Because most people, when they died of crucifixion, died because they suffocated, because they couldn't breathe. He had to, with great, great pain and suffering, pull himself up so that he could utter those words out of his mouth. He did that for you. So I want to ask you, please don't take his love for granted. Please don't go one more day without surrendering your life to Christ. I'm not asking you to say some magic words today. I'm asking you to come to the Lord and acknowledge your sin, to recognize that you have broken his commandments. Probably every one of those commandments have been broken. We've all broken those commandments. But all it takes is one, because of the wages of sin. The Bible tells us the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you. Go before the Lord. Ask him to reveal your sin. Ask him to expose your sin. In fact, you probably already know about a lot of it. You know you've been violating what conscience you do have. But ask him to show you so that you can repent, that you can come before him and surrender yourself. And I just want to lead you in a prayer right now. I'm going to ask you to just to really pray something along these lines for yourself as you surrender to God. And then I'm going to pray for everyone else who has already surrendered their life to Christ, who just want to be able to hear God a little more clearly. Father, I lift up those right now, Lord, who don't know you. If there's anyone watching this message and they've never surrendered their life to Christ, I pray, Father, that you would draw them to yourself now. Lord God, that you would remove those blinders from their minds. Lord, that you would help them to see who you really are. Lord, that you would bring an appreciation into their heart for what you suffered for their sake. God, I pray, save them. I pray, wash their sins away with the blood of Jesus. Lord, I pray that by your grace, they'll be able to surrender to you. They'll be able to give you their all because you gave them your all. Now, I want to encourage you to pray something like this. Father, forgive me. I know that I've sinned. I don't blame anyone else for my sin. I know that it was my choice to sin. But I'm asking you to forgive me. I want to turn away from this sin. I want to repent. I want to think differently from now on. I want to think like you think. Lord, I want to hunger for your word so that I can know how you think. I pray that you would make yourself truly known to me. Lord, I'm asking you to come into my life, to wash my sins away, to give me eternal life through Jesus Christ. I declare today, I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. I acknowledge and I confess with my mouth that you raised him from the dead. And Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your blood washing my sins away and saving me. Now I surrender everything to you. Help me to walk this life out in a way that pleases and honors and glorifies you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, or if you surrendered your life to Christ today, please, please, don't go another day, don't go another hour without telling somebody, without letting them know that you surrendered your life to Christ. But I want to pray for those also, you'd be able to hear the voice of God clearly. Now, Father, I thank you for this teaching. I thank you for the opportunity to hear straight from you. And I pray, Father, that you would open up our hearts, open up our spirits to be able to hear directly from you, Father. Help us to know when it's you speaking. We thank you for that. Plant this word deep in our hearts that it might bear fruit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.